You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi. You're rolling with Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Hope everybody's having a solid hump day so far. We're going to have a solid day. Plenty to get to today. We're man down. John Martin is on daddy duty. But I got my man Brad Carson here. We're going to be just fine. We'll get to John in just a second. Stayed up late last night. I was working. Since no Grizzlies, I was working, or so I told myself, to watch 7'5", 18-year-old French basketball phenom, Victor Wembanyama.
Oh, wow.
And we're going to get to Glorilla. She had a big night, too, last night, even though that was taped. The Hip Hop Awards on BET. Oh. Glorilla had a big night. Brad's eager to get to it, obviously. Victor Wembanyama had a big night
that was
last
live.
Night as well. Going against Scoot Henderson. Get used to the names, folks, because these will likely be the number one and two picks in the upcoming NBA draft. Got a chance to watch him in exhibition play last night. And Victor Wembanyama, we're going to have to get a nickname.
Yes.
Like we did with Giannis and like we did, we're going to have to. We'll come up with it at some point. He did not disappoint. This dude is taller than Rudy Gobert. Obviously, at 7'5", Rudy's 7'1". He's more athletic than Holmgren or James Wiseman or any 7-footer I've seen. And I know what, you know, a lot of it is, well, he's a unicorn.
Right.
Dude, I know we already have a freak, but this dude's he's closer to a freak of nature watching Wembanyama. He's awesome, man. Did you get a chance to see it at all?
I didn't.
You've probably seen highlights and stuff.
I've seen the highlights now, and he looks like, I know this is, it sounds a little crazy. I don't think I've seen somebody that looks like that ever.
So, remember how giddy we got when Chet Holmgren dribbled around Jalen Duren and we said, look, he's not just a stick out there. He can actually put it on the floor and get around people. Mm-hmm. Dude, times 10
yeah.
with Victor. He is doing step backs taller than Chet Holmgren. Step backs, drive to the baskets, one step spin moves from the free throw line. It's completely different than watching Chet Holmgren. Yeah. It was a revelation to see him for the first time play on American soil for the first time yesterday in this exhibition game. We'll get to it. We got to get to know these guys. Hey, we got to pick, too, where we least want to see this guy as Grizzlies fans. You know, which team do we want to see him with? Which one would be the biggest threat to the Grizzlies with him? Mm-hmm. We'll get into all that. You can tell he made quite an impression on me. Aaron Judge has made history, finally. I'm relieved for the man, to be quite honest with you. Hits home run number 62 yesterday to lead off the second game of that doubleheader against the Rangers. It's done. He is the AL home run king. Give it up for him. Pass Roger Maris. Thank you, Brad.
For a while, I didn't think he'd get there.
I know it didn't look like it. He is not the single-season home run king. That is Barry Bonds. We can get to that later. I know plenty are in denial. The guy who caught Judge's ball, by the way. This is a whole separate story.
Yeah.
Nice catch with the glove, reached over, made a nice one-hand grab. We talked about this yesterday with John, with you, what we would do if we caught this ball.
Yes.
This guy's got it. He's figuring out what his next steps are. He was escorted by security after they had to authenticate the ball. He was escorted by security. You realize he had to be. Ball could be worth $2 million. I think there's an offer out there of $2 million for the ball. Baseball playoffs are set. Braves and Austin Riley, your NL East Division champs for a fifth straight year. We'll have Brad break down the baseball playoffs for us. That's starting this week. Get hype, Cardinals. Is there enough magic?
I'm worried, Jason. I looked at
this.
Don't
be worried. It's a free swing, is it not?
You're
not going into this thing expecting to win a ring, are you?
I always expect to win a ring when we go into this thing. I mean, when you're a Cardinals fan, Jason, that's the Cardinal experience. I know that you're a Cubs fan.
Well, how long has it been?
It's 2011. Yeah, 11 and 11. Yeah. So, I mean, we're due. We are due. But you got to get through the Braves and you got to get through the Mets.
Yeah, that's going to be tough enough. Glorilla, we mentioned, had a big night last night. Mm-hmm. Memphis' own, 23 years old, big winner at the Hip Hop Awards. We'll get to everything that she has accomplished, who all was on the stage with her. I didn't like the way Tyrese was biting his bottom lip looking at her either. She's too young for you, Tyrese. This is ours. And then West Memphis, Chick-fil-A.
Oh, this is good.
What the hell is going on over there? And I'm sorry, but I don't have any other words. If you haven't seen the video that's gone viral of the West Memphis Chick-fil-A and what this store worker did, you need to go out and check it out. Folks have been fired, thankfully, and it just makes you wonder when you're in that fast food line. Chick-fil-A, I thought, was the one place we could still trust, bro.
You got to be nice, Jason. That's the bottom line.
I thought even at Chick-fil-A, you know, you don't have to put on your nice face and do all the extra pleases because you figure with the workers there, man, you know what I'm saying? They're all efficient. Nobody's doing anything like this. Mm. But I suppose you need to take those rules, those thank you, please, yes, thank you. So they're not spitting in your food. You better take it to Chick-fil-A, too, at least the one in West Memphis. We'll get to that. Let me set up the rest of the show. 11:25, sure. We'll talk to Mark Giannotto like we do regularly on Wednesdays. He's got a column up at commercialappeal.com about the NBA GM survey released yesterday. We'll ask him, too, about Victor Wembanyama. I've been dreaming about this guy's name and having to say it so many times today.
You're good with those.
We'll get there. Memphis-Houston football this weekend, obviously a big one for Ryan Silverfield's Tigers. Speaking of Tigers, Tiger Basketball Pro Day is tomorrow. We'll ask Giannotto about that as well. Brady, Giselle, lawyers have been hired. It's all over TMZ. This is going to be news all the way through here. Yeah. This is going to be, in terms of headline divorces,
it doesn't get any bigger.
The biggest we've seen in a while. Yeah. We have plenty to get to with Mark. And then at 1:25, the aforementioned John Martin, my partner, who is on daddy duty today, he is touring schools with Riley and Sam. This is a very important time.
We've been through that process.
We have both been through that process. Sounds like he's got at least a couple of schools on the list. We'll ask him. You know, I heard John with Jeff say they're looking to get paid. Should have figured.
Oh, they want an NIL deal?
Of course. Already. She's not even two.
John, a little confused on the religious school thing. I think he said he was going to a Lutheran school that was affiliated with the Catholic system. I got a little confused there. So, you know, but it's easy to do. You and I have done this.
Again, her family may have some, you know, they may have some strong feelings about that as well. Maybe stronger than John. So maybe he's been trumped here in terms of the school.
What kind of NIL deal can you get to go to preschool?
I don't know, but you heard that she's already got a full ride to Ole Miss.
She's got already
set up
for
life. Which I'm jealous of. I mean, I can't sit up here and help. Mine's 8. We don't know where the heck we're going. She's already got a full ride to Ole Miss, John said yesterday.
CJ's balling out, though. It's looking pretty promising.
Yeah. You know what? I'm not going to be brother ball here. We're working.
People
ask me about Chris, and he's hitting that jumper, and I try to keep it low-key. Trying to stay humble, trying to keep Chris humble.
Good man.
He is no Victor Wembanyama.
This guy's unbelievable.
Let me tell you that. So last night, we'll get back to it, as I mentioned, stayed up to watch him versus Scoot Henderson, who you also need to know. These are the projected number one and number two picks. Wembanyama playing for the Metropolitans 92. It's the French pro team coming over here playing an exhibition game. Brad, you would probably know this. Henderson, Nevada, which is about 20 minutes off the strip. Metcalf right outside.
It's kind of like Germantown is to Memphis. They're right next door.
They're playing a couple of games there, these two teams, them and the G League at night. They got another one tomorrow, I believe. That's going to be 2 p.m. Central time. So these two teams going to meet up twice. They did not disappoint last night. Scoot Henderson's team, his G League at night team, comes away with the win. But the story is Wembanyama. 7'5", like we mentioned, that's where Gavoni's got him, 7'5".
Jeez.
8-foot wingspan. Making three-pointers down the stretch, he finishes with 37 points, 11 of 20 from the floor. He was 7 of 11 from three.
Incredible.
At 7'5". Now, you'd seen, you know, people are already familiar, you know, looking ahead to draft. Everybody, you know, you're familiar with this guy's name. You know of his work over there. You've probably seen some highlight clips of him. But to watch him again in his first game on American soil, and yes, against a G League Ignite team that doesn't have, you know, they're not all future pros here. Some of these guys going to be out here after a little bit. I saw John Jenkins was still trying to, I think at 31 years old, still trying to make the former Vanderbilt star, still trying to make it the NBA. Anyway, back to the point. So he's not doing it against the elite of the elite, but to go out there, 37 points, like we said, 7 of 11 from 3. He blocked 5 shots. There's only been one guy in NBA history Jeff mentioned this too. I saw the stat last night. I think the other thing that was amazing, that made 7 threes and blocked 5 shots in the same game. You know who it was?
Who was it?
Plays for the Grizzlies. Hasn't played yet, but he's expected, I suppose, right now to play at some point for the Grizzlies this season. I've narrowed it down pretty good for you there. Seven threes and 5 blocks in the same game.
And this is a person who hasn't played on our team yet?
Has not played for the Grizzlies. He is on the team right now. I've narrowed it down. So that's not Jaren Jackson.
It's
he's
not
played
Loft?
For the Grizzlies. No. It's not,
who is it?
Danny Green.
Oh,
believe it or not.
I didn't even think about that.
Which
I was thinking of the rookies in this first year. I didn't think about Danny Green being on this team. No.
I didn't mean to make the stat less impressive that's the point. Nobody's ever done this. Danny had a night that night, obviously. Yeah. 7 threes and 5 blocks. But here's the point. This guy's blocking everything. He's shooting everything. It's step back jumpers. And like we said, it's not as much a unicorn as it is just a freak. You've never seen anything like this. He's 18 years old, already polished. And again, last night against G League competition, he did whatever he wanted to. He got in some early foul trouble, Brad, and that pulled him off the floor early. But he played through it. He picked up what would have been, I think, his last foul, but they ended up overturning it. Comes down, still in the game, makes a three there late to make it a 118-115 game. I mean, he's just taking over looking like Kevin Durant offensively at one point. Like we said, most 7-footers this size. They're athletic, but they're limited in terms of their movement and fluidity, right. Those kinds of stuff. He moves like a guard,
but
Brad
doesn't look like Chet Holmgren in terms of the size.
See, here's when you watch Chet Holmgren move, and like I said, we sort of got giddy when he went around Jalen Duren in the NCAA tournament, but you almost feel like he's going to break.
That's right.
Right?
And
it's
he
like
did.
A guy like that, and he ended up doing it trying to step in front of LeBron, but you're like, a guy like that is not going to hold up. Listen, I know Stephen A. made the point. That's what he's most concerned about with Wembanyama, because he's so skinny. Is he going to hold up? But, dude, he does not move like Chet Holmgren. When you watch him, you don't get those same feelings like he's not supposed to move like that. It looks like a guard who has grown into the 7'5 body. He's phenomenal, Brad. He is phenomenal. And it just, to look at him and think about what he's going to be in the NBA, and my gosh, the talent influx. When you add him to the young talent, the NBA, all the guys that are under 25, it's exciting to think about. We'll get to him, back to him in a second. But Scoot Henderson here should not be talked over as well. He's probably going to be the number two pick, Brad. He's 6'3", 6'9", wingspan. Think Ja Morant in the sense he's built probably a little sturdier in terms of weight, but same size, same height, 6'3". His wingspan at 6'9" is close to Ja's. I believe Ja's 6'7".
Yeah.
And that's in terms of wingspan. Fearless like Ja. He tried to dunk on Wembanyama late in the game. Victor wasn't having any part of it. He ended up blocking. But back to the point of fearlessness. He takes off in the lane trying to dunk on him.
Sure.
Didn't work, but that's the point. And it's not just the athleticism with this Henderson kid, Scoot Henderson. He was setting guys up, driving downhill and dishing. It looks like, Brad, to me, and you used to wonder about this. You've wondered about this with some guys. This is his second year with this G League Unite team for this 18-year-old Scoot Henderson. And you can tell, and maybe it would have happened for him wherever he'd gone, whatever choice he'd make, but clearly they have done a good job of developing him in terms of being an NBA point guard, decision-making, those kinds of things. Being in this G League program for him has worked out pretty well, it looks like, just in terms of the polish.
Good decision,
in terms of,
then.
Yes, yeah. In terms of how he's affecting the game in different ways, not just scoring. He also had 9 assists, 5 rebounds, led his team, like we said, to the 122-115 victory last night. It was just exhibition. But you can hear the excitement probably in my voice because, again, when I think about all of the young talent coming in, if you go back, and probably for me it goes back to Bird and Magic and sort of how they – there's a natural progression of sort of how they handed off things to Mike and who takes it to the next level. And obviously Mike, you can take your pick of who he handed it off to, Kobe, LeBron, but there's always that passing of the torch. Giannis is somewhere in there now in terms of that passing of the torch. Zion, Ja Morant now, those guys. I'm telling you, Wembanyama is a guy we're going to have right up there with those guys. And you think about what, baseball's got an issue where, it's stars. Mike Trout, you know he's second in home runs this year? You wouldn't even know it.
No, it's like buried. Right?
Now, exactly. If it's not Aaron Judge, nobody knows what the heck's going on for the most part. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Football obviously does a better job, and it does a better job marketing young stars, but nobody's got it.
No.
Like the NBA. Think about Ja and all the social media impressions last year, and the NBA obviously recognizing that and doubling down in terms of national TV appearances for the Grizzlies this season, all of it. You get the same sort of thing with Zion, and I'm telling you, Victor Wembanyama has that same sort of you can't take your eyes off of. You're going to buy league pass just to see this guy play for Oklahoma City or Utah or whatever it is. But that's the point, is that he's the next in line. And I'm not, you know, in terms of another league, I'm not sure there's anything like it in terms of having that next generation of guys coming up. Think about all the players in the NBA under the age of 25 right now. Right, who are about to take over if they haven't already. You got Ja, you got Luka, who most GMs think's gonna win the MVP this year. Trae Young mentioned, Jason Tatum, Zion, we talked about him. Anthony Edwards, Evan Mobley, LaMelo Ball, Garland, who I love up in Cleveland. Scotty Barnes, Chet Holmgren, Paolo, Jaren Jackson. I should mention, obviously, I'd be remiss not to. Sure. Bane, Maxey, your boy, Poole. But you can see it. You know, you don't need those old aging stars in the NBA, right, yet to have to hold on too long before the next crop is up, and they're right here. Last night was a reminder of that, again, that you've got even another crop. I mean, I didn't even talk about last year's rookies. Like, I feel good about Cade Cunningham.
Yep.
You know, Jaden Ivey this year feels like he's going to be a star. Like, there's a ton of – Scotty Barnes.
Jalen Duren.
Obviously. Jalen Duren has got a chance to be good. So, just in terms of the young talent coming up, it's exciting. Yeah. You don't even have to be – you can just be an NBA – you don't even have to be a fan to be excited about this young talent that's coming up through here. So, you think about it and you look around, and if you watched them last night, you're probably in fear of, okay, Wembanyama is a phenom. If you're a Grizzlies fan, where would you least like to see him? I've already heard this conversation
heard that,
among many. And, you know, you figure Houston's going to be in the mix. Oklahoma City Thunder will be in the mix. The Utah Jazz, who are obviously dismantling everything, you figure will be in the mix. If you're the Grizzlies, obviously best case scenario is he goes east.
Yep.
Yep. Brad just made the motion that he goes east.
First thing east, I thought of is east anywhere.
And if you were picking an Eastern Conference team, probably the least threat to you that you'd like to see him on, who would it be?
I thought Charlotte was a good option. The problem is they got a lot of young weapons.
Man, him and LaMelo would be something.
That's a problem. So I think that Orlando team we just saw would probably be my first option. Although you put Paolo and him together, that's also
a
problem.
That could be something.
All these teams that are crappy, it seems like, already have young nucleuses. They're just not as far along as the Grizzlies, which is why the Grizzlies thing is so amazing, because they have all these first, second, and third-year players that are just amazing. So I probably put him on Orlando.
Charlotte, Orlando. Like, Orlando is just this hodgepodge of guards and Paolo Banchero.
Right.
So at some point, they've got, you know, I know, you know, they need a lead guard. They need to figure out who it is. Is it Suggs? Is it Cole Anthony? What's R.J. Hampton doing down there? Is he just playing the two now? But, again, if you've got the number one pick, I don't see how you can pass on
guy.
And in terms of from the Grizzlies' standpoint, hey, send him down there. He's not a threat. Send him over to the East. Now, if one of these Western Conference teams ends up with the top pick, I think the Jazz.
That's probably the one.
I think the Jazz are probably the one.
Yeah.
Right? Because even, you know, in terms of if you're thinking about OKC, you know, Chet Holmgren, after this season, we'll get a chance to see. You know, you put what they've got. And they've got some young pieces, right? I don't, you know, Houston looks like a tire fire right now. You know, that's all they're doing. But I like where OKC is in terms of construction of the roster. They're ahead of Houston. I'd probably, if I had my pick between those two, I'd rather see him in Houston as opposed to OKC. But I think Utah overall would be the pick of where you'd want to see this guy you were a Grizzlies fan and you're trying to stay away from him.
I think Utah in the West.
And he's going west.
Orlando, you hit on it in the East. I think Cole Anthony is limited after watching him, so I don't think he's going to have to shoot a bunch, you know, to get get points. So I think probably Magic be fine in Utah. Sounds good in the West.
So Stephen A. made the point after watching him last night. I just want to bring that.
Yeah,
it was almost. it sounded like an echo of exactly what he'd said and much of what I agreed with on Chet Holmgren in terms of the body, that the first thing you worry about is how is he going to hold up at 7'5", right? And especially playing out as much on the perimeter as he does, attacking the basket, as if he's going to do that in the NBA as much as he did, how are you going to hold up defensively when those big guys know, right, you're not nearly as strong as some of, you know, they're going to challenge you physically. Yeah. How's a guy like that going to hold up? I don't know if it's just watching him, and again, it's just one game, his first game in America, but I don't have those same concerns. And let's not act like there aren't Kevin Durants, right? There aren't guys in the NBA, slight of build, that are thriving.
That's right. And most of these guys are playing around the perimeter.
That are thriving in this league. Yeah. So of course, you look at him, you see the rail thin body that at some point you'll be able to put at least his man weight on, but he'll never be some big, you know, some big, thick player. But of course, you wonder that initially. But I just think, you know, the NBA, for the most part, you're always going to have your strong guys and your enforcers, but it's gone away from that. It's more about the skill now with the way fouls are called and everything else. You got more of a chance of lasting at this size now than you ever did. Okay, so I realize it's always going to be a concern for these guys that are built like Chet Holmgren or Wembanyama, but I don't look at him in the same way that I do Chet because, again, yes, while their bodies are similar in terms of their how thin they are, man, dude just moves different. He moves absolutely different, and I think he's built for it. He operates completely different. He's fun to watch. You'll have a chance, guys, for those that didn't get to see him yesterday on ESPN. They play again tomorrow night, these same two teams. But, again, don't dismiss Scoot Henderson. This dude looks like a player, too. Two years now, second season with the G League Ignite. Think Ja Morant.
Wow.
There's no question about it. Again, very similar in size, similar in fearlessness, and similar in that they can affect the game in other ways besides just scoring. Guys that seem well ahead of their years in terms of the decision-making. That's the other part that, you know, Ja gets to the league, seems way beyond his years in terms of leadership, the willingness of that locker room to fall in behind him. Henderson, you get that same sort of feel on. So somebody's going to get a beast at number two, but nobody's not picking Victor Wembanyama. We're going to have to give him some sort of VW.
You did a good job.
We're going to have to give him some sort of nickname because much like Antetokounmpo, it does, you know, maybe it'll just be his first name.
Or you know,
like
Wembo
Giannis,
or
like,
Wemby.
Like Giannis, he's just his first name reference only.
Victor.
But you got Oladipo.
Yeah.
So maybe that wouldn't stick. There's only one Giannis. There would be two Victors. We're going to have to figure out something because you're going to say this dude's name for the next decade and a half probably at the least. We'll be talking about it just about every night on SportsCenter. He was fun to watch. You know what's also fun is getting to Mark Giannano. We get to do that every Wednesday about this time. We'll do that next. Got plenty to ask him about. Like we mentioned, he's got a column up at commercialappeal.com about the NBA GM survey and the Memphis Grizzlies and what those GMs might have missed with the Grizzlies. Got plenty to ask Mark about, including maybe what he would do with that Aaron Judge home run ball. We know what Brad would do. We know what I would do. We would sell it for the $2
million. Money.
We'll ask Mark when we come back. Before we do, start NFL Week 5 off right with a no-sweat same-game parlay from FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Doesn't matter if you're new to FanDuel or already have an account. You'll get free bets back if your Thursday night same-game parlay does not hit. NFL same-game parlays are the perfect way to combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payday. Jonathan Taylor going to score an anytime touchdown. Russell Wilson over on the passing yards. Matt Ryan to throw an interception. Those are some of the ways, some of the options you can use to build your own or choose from one of the popular SGPs pre-built for you and FanDuel's top-rated sportsbook app. However you want to play, you can bet the NFL on Thursday night with a no-sweat same-game parlay. Just sign up with promo code JSmith if you don't already have an account. If you already have FanDuel, you're all set. Just sign in to see what you've got. Make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NFL and, of course, of 92.9 FM ESPN. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. 3+ legs, minimum $1 bet required. Refund issued as non-withdrawable free bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Max free bet $5. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-9789.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Mark Giannotto is an award-winning sports columnist for the Commercial Appeal, co-host of the Giannotto and Jeffrey Show, which you should be listening to right here every day from 2 to 4 on 929 ESPN. You can follow him on Twitter at mgiannotto. Read him at commercialappeal.com. Mark, did you get a chance to see Victor Wembanyama last night?
I watched the highlights. I recorded the game, and I didn't watch it. I didn't get a chance to watch the full thing. But I've been watching Big Vic.
You've been preparing for this for a long time.
I've been watching him. Well, I heard, you know, like, people have been talking about him as the best prospect in the world for like a year. Like, he's been, like, even before last year's draft, the talk was if he had been in that draft, he would have been number one, yes, as a 16, 17. Like, he's been the number one prospect in the world for like a year at least at this point. And so I'd been watching film, whatever, YouTube highlights, mm-hmm, and stuff like that. It did feel like, though, last night was his, you know, introduction to the wide world, if you will.
First game in America.
If he becomes a great NBA player, a superstar, mm-hmm, like, last night will be a game, and same with Scoot Henderson. Like, last night will be a game. I don't know if it's, you know, I don't think it's going to reach the level of like Bird Magic in the Final Four in 79 as like a pre, but like, yeah, it will be a moment you remember, I think, as part of their timeline. Kind of like, remember when LeBron played the ESPN game?
I do.
You know, like, people remember that now, especially it's like an important moment,
yeah,
because of who LeBron became, and living up to that hype. And no, I mean, someone pointed it out last night, and I thought it was interesting that Corey Alexander was calling the game, because he's a Virginia guy. And like, the comparison, he looks like Ralph Sampson out there, Wembanyama.
So
he might be better,
off air,
might
Ralph
be more athletic.
7'4".
Yeah, it might be more athletic than Sampson, but that was Sampson. He was dribbling. He would shoot threes. I mean, people forget about him because his NBA career didn't take off because of injuries, and that's honestly always the fear with tall guys this tall, is, mm-hmm, that, you know, foot, knee, whatever. It was a different time then, you know. Suffering a torn ACL in 1985 is a lot different than suffering a torn ACL today. But, I mean, Sampson was like college-age Ralph Sampson. That's what kind of Wembanyama looks like, and maybe more athletic. Like, he's a little more explosive.
Yes.
But that's the style. I mean, and the fact that he knew this was a big moment, his first game in America, he's going against
the number two prospect,
and he just showed up and had like a monster game. Like, that says something too about the guy, in terms of who he could be.
If you were the Grizzlies, who do you least want to see him with, West and East? Obviously, you'd rather have him in the East.
Well, it's interesting because, to me, if you look at the NBA, the teams that are, in my mind, are going to have the greatest odds of nabbing him are Utah, San Antonio, and Indiana.
We didn't put San Ann in there, and they should.
And they
be
scare
about
me.
San Antonio.
It scares me.
That's a problem.
He seems like it seems like another Tim Duncan scenario where,
yeah,
they flush one season down the drain during a transition, and then end up with like this, you know, a guy who ends up being, you know, potentially the best big man in the league for, mm-hmm, a while. Like they did. Remember that the Tim Duncan, people forget, it was like David Robinson got hurt, and so San Antonio
allowed
just tanked the season,
yep,
got the number one pick. Remember, Boston was trying to tank that season,
right,
too, with,
yeah,
Patino running the team. But the Spurs won the lottery, and they get Tim Duncan, and the very next year, I think they won the NBA championship, mm-hmm, with an aging Robinson and a rookie Tim Duncan.
Yep.
And so, Yeah, I think San Antonio would be the one that would scare me the most, just because they're in the division. They're, you know, they have a good infrastructure historically. I don't know if Popovich will coach Victor Wembanyama.
Certainly not in his prime.
But regardless, I think that's because, like, if you look at the landscape of the NBA, those look like they're going to be the worst teams in the NBA this year, potentially. Mm-hmm. The Jazz, the Spurs, and the Pacers. That's what I think, at least.
Will Houston be down there?
I think Houston's a little too good, like, especially at the end of last year. Like, I don't think Houston is going to necessarily be a play-in team. Maybe they will, but I doubt that. But I don't think they're going to be the worst team in the West. Okay. I think they'll be better than that. Same with Detroit.
GM survey was out yesterday. You've got a column up at commercialappeal.com. Everybody should go read. Outrage? You can't be.
Not outraged. No, we said on our show it was perfect. They mentioned the Grizzlies just enough to show that, like, they do view the Grizzlies differently today than they did a year, like, in last year's GM survey. Clearly, they view them higher, but there was just enough disrespect that, like, you know, like, not having Ja Morant as even getting a vote for best point guard. That was good.
That's
stuff.
The one.
That was perfect. That was the one that didn't make sense to me. I would put him ahead of Trae Young right now.
Yeah, I said that yesterday.
But Trae Young got a vote. Mm-hmm. But there's that. There's the fact that, you know, frankly, here the bottom line, and this is how I bottom lined it in my column. The GMs, much like the general public, don't think the Grizzlies are going to be as good this year as they were last year.
It's a tougher West.
That's really what it comes down to. Because, you know, when you look at it, they don't tell you exactly how every GM responded to the survey. But they don't know. They don't necessarily respond to every question, so you don't know how many GMs voted on each category. But I thought it was telling. Only 3% of the GMs who responded had the Grizzlies being the 2 seed in the West, so matching what they did last year, and only 6% had them ranked in their top 4 in the West. Basically. 27 of the 30 GMs in the league basically think the Grizzlies are going to finish outside the top 4 in the West. And, you know, I'm not saying
that. How much of that is step back and how much of it is stronger West?
Listen, the 4 teams they picked ahead of them, I don't think you can necessarily say the GMs are idiots. Mm-mm. Because they have Denver ahead of them. And, I mean, like, again,
that's
Memphis finished ahead of Denver, but, like, when they had their full team, they went to the Western Conference Finals, and they have the reigning MVP. So I don't necessarily think that's outlandish to say that. Golden State's obviously ahead of them. They're the defending champs. Clippers were the number 1 seed. Like, they got the most votes, it appears. I'll believe it when I see that.
And then Phoenix,
who had the best record in the league last year and returns everyone. I know it's a little more dysfunctional, it feels like, over there last year. But they still return basically everyone from the team that had the best record in the West last year. So it's not total, you know, picking them 5th seems, you know, probably on the surface, you know, reasonable.
That's what I thought.
You know, but I'm not saying it's unreasonable to do that. I'm also just saying that's the bottom line. They don't think the Grizzlies are going to be as good as last year. And my argument, if you're going to argue they can be, like, I go back to the fact that they played 11 games last year with their ideal starting lineup.
Mm-hmm.
13% of the schedule was played with the ideal starting lineup. And they're going to start now. Now maybe they'll never get to it, but this year they're starting out without the ideal starting lineup too.
So we don't know in terms of with this group collectively.
But my gut tells me they're going to play that starting five of Ja, Desmond Bane, Dillon Brooks, Jaren Jackson Jr., Steven Adams. My gut tells me they're going to play more than 11 games together this year.
Yeah.
You know, maybe they can be better that way. Maybe that, you know, I think that can offset what you lost in Kyle and D'Anthony Melton, and whatever you may or may not get from those rookies, especially early on. So I think it's setting up nicely for the Grizzlies in that they're getting some respect, but also there's enough doubt that these guys are not going to be these guys are going to have that same sort of attitude they had last year.
Yeah.
It's going to be easy to conjure up. And I think the way they play, you know, I don't know, you know, the playoffs are a different story, but for the regular season, the way they carry themselves, the way this team plays, how deep it is at times, like, they kind of are made for the regular season, for regular season success, because they bring it every game. Like, that to me is one of the, among the advantages they have over the rest of the NBA. Like, having someone like Jott, point guard, is an advantage over the rest of the NBA. Having a versatile defender like Jaren Jackson Jr. is an advantage over the rest of the NBA. They have a, feels like to me, until they prove it, a deficiency in shooting, even with Desmond Bane, even with a great shooter like Desmond Bane. Mm-hmm. But one of the key things that helps offset that is their, like, give an S factor. Like, they just play really hard.
Yeah.
And I like the fact that there's plenty of motivation for them to continue carrying themselves that way. They can convince themselves that people are not giving them the proper respect. And that's, you know, I think it's a good thing.
Yeah. I like this question, and I've heard it posed before, but who do you like better playing with that second unit? Obviously, they're both starters, Bane, Dillon Brooks. But in terms of when you've got the second unit out there, and whether it's allowing Dillon Brooks to take all his shots with that second unit, right, more so he can fall in line when John, or giving it over to Desmond Bane, and, hey, he can be more than just a shooter. He can be, you know, maybe a little bit of playmaker there too with Tyus. Which one's the better approach there?
Yeah, it's interesting.
With DeAnthony gone, you know, Conchar, I know, will do some of that, but you figure one of those two is going to play a lot. And they were already doing it.
Right. I mean, I think why Bane's been doing in the preseason is because Dillon was out last year. Bane was doing it last year during the regular season where he was the, you know, he would come out with, you know, 6 minutes into the first quarter.
First one
and
out.
Would be the first starter to cycle back in the game with the reserves.
So now you got options.
I mean, I think you can probably play them together, especially because of the way Bane can handle the ball. But yeah, the reality is I think it's going to be matchup dependent, where if you're playing a game where you really need Dillon's defense on the wing, maybe he's out there more. But I mean, until Dillon proves he's the more efficient shooter, if I'm Taylor Jenkins, I'm trying to prioritize more shots for my best shooter. And if that involves Bane being in there, because what it looks like they're going to do is take out Bane and Aldama first, or Bane and Steven Adams first, and then cycle that group back in, because we know Bane and Adams work really well together as well. So I think they'll be fine no matter what way it is. I mean, the key for Dillon this whole year is, like, that's the other thing about playing with that ideal starting five, is we haven't really seen Dillon Brooks playing with that ideal starting five where he's going to have to defer more. Like last year, I think one of the things I've noticed about Dillon, and maybe I'm reading too much into this, it seems like when Ja is out there, like, he is fully aware that Ja is the man and he defers to Ja. I think when Ja isn't out there, he doesn't necessarily do that with Desmond Bane and Jaren Jackson Jr.
Ja, yeah.
And so that's what I think. And last year, they just didn't play together very much, Dillon Brooks and Ja Morant. And then the year before that, they played a lot together, but not with Jaren out there. Mm-hmm. And frankly, not like the fully formed version of Bane that we saw last year. Mm-hmm. So how he embraces the fact that, you know, frankly, I think he should probably take the fourth number. He should be number four in the shot, you know, it's number of shots pecking order. But I don't think he thinks like that.
Right.
And like where he settles himself into, like maybe, like I think I'm okay with him taking more shots than Jaren, especially if Jaren shoots the percentage he did from 3-point range last year. But, you know, that's going to be a tricky thing for them to figure out, particularly if, you know, if Dillon is thinking certain way. I mean, he is in a contract year. Like that whole thing,
going to a contract year on Dillon.
That whole thing is going to be very tricky. And so, you know, they need to get some reps in, you know, playing that way. And I think that's part of the problem. They just have had so few games where all four of them have played together at this point.
What's your faith level in that Santi's going to be able to hold it down till Jaren gets back, or that they'd have to turn to one of the rookies that Santi couldn't? Which way you think it ends up going?
I don't think there's anyone who's going to hold it down for Jaren. I think they're going to have some real defensive issues the first. I just hope it's only like 10 or 15 games. If it's we're stretching into 20 games he's missing, like that's going to be a real issue. If like he's missing a quarter or more of the season, Jaren Jackson Jr., like I.
But you don't get that sense, right?
No, I mean everything they've told us so far is that it's going to be, you know, like I would guess, I'm hoping he's back in November at some point because like Santi looks much more comfortable, looks good. I think when they play real teams, they're going to have a lot of trouble defending. Like I think Jeffrey's made this point, and I think he's absolutely right. I think it's going to be a net positive for Jaren Jackson Jr. personally, because I think the fans are going to appreciate him a lot more after we see 10 or 15 games without him.
Oh.
In the lineup. Like, I think,
You come from the just start Brandon Clark school, don't you?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
That's where some of this answers, I remember now.
I would just,
some
I
of
would,
this answers coming
I would,
from.
I will say this. Brandon Clark has attempted a few threes in the preseason, and it looks as bad as it's ever looked.
It has
looked.
Not looked good.
And so, I'm fine with starting Santi. He looks much better.
You're right. Defensively is where the problem floor, is.
But I just but think, I don't think, it, I think no matter what they do, they're going to have some issues defensively without Jaren Jackson Jr. He covers up a lot of stuff.
Oh, for sure. And saying hold it down, I wouldn't certainly say there ain't going to be a step back. There's going to be a couple steps back.
I think the goal, they're lucky the schedule's not that difficult the first month of the season. You know, as long as he's only missing like 10 or 15 games or whatever, like it's fine. Mm-hmm. They'll figure it out enough. They'll, you know, if they're 8-7 when he comes back, that's fine. If they're 7-8 when he comes back, that's fine. Like they can, there's a lot of season left. It's just, you just don't want it stretching 20, 25 games, you know, like, and you know, they're saying the right things, but until he actually, you know, we've seen with them with injuries, like it, you know, it can take a while.
Yeah. Talking to Mark Giannotto here on Jason and John, turning to Tigers football, big opportunity for him on Friday. It feels like we've been talking about this one for weeks saying, if it could just be 4-1, how much of a chance do you give them? They're favored in this one, 3-point favorites, I think, last I looked. What are you looking for? What are you most curious about watching unfold here?
Well, I think they're going to need to score some. I think the offense is going to have to be better than it's been the past couple weeks. Good.
That Houston defense.
It doesn't, but I think Houston's going to score. I think the Memphis defense looks pretty good. I don't know if they're going to shut this Houston team down like they did North Texas, like they did Temple.
Temple offense is one of the worst in the country.
You know, it's an interesting game because Houston, it could be the type of game where, you know what, let's just be honest. Houston is 2-3 with a couple really close losses, and they were supposed to be better. And, you know, there's some fear in my mind of, like, what if this is the game where they figure it out and play like the team they were supposed to play?
Yeah, my partner mentioned
that. Now, the other part of that, the other side is they also could be on, like, quitting on Dana Holgorsen.
Exactly.
Watch. Like, that's also a possibility here where they just lay an absolute stinker. And, you know, like, because we've, you know, Holgorsen has called him out in the media. He's, you know, gotten booed by the fans leaving the field last week. So there's that part of it. But, no, I think while I'm concerned about the offense, like, obviously, they're 72nd in the country in total offense right now. I'm also not shutting the door on the formula they've used where they turn teams over, they're not turning the ball over, they're second in the country in turnover margin, and they're playing much better, you know, they're playing good defense, and they kind of, I'm not closing the door on that being an effective, you know, strategy the rest of the season, given the weak schedule and given the overall strength of the league this year. Like, I think that might work. I don't know if it'll, you know, I don't know if you're going to go undefeated or whatever, 11-1 doing that. But I also am not shutting the door on you can go 8-4, 9-3 doing that.
Right.
And we said before the season, like, that would be a great season. But I also think, you know, you hope the offense looks better. I mean, I don't think enough is being said. Like, they literally have not looked the same since those two offensive linemen got hurt.
Yeah, it's been the lines, the biggest issue, no?
I mean, I think the receivers are a problem, too.
Getting open?
Yeah, they're not getting open, and they're not winning battles on the outside the last couple weeks. Like, that's just the truth. The tight end is pretty good.
Pre-scoring is a good one.
But he's not good enough to, like, beat a scheme. And, like, teams are now like, okay, we got to pay attention to this tight end. And they're like, okay, Joe Skates runs a great go route. We got to make sure we're aware of that. And once they took those two things out, it felt like the explosion of the offense just went away. Mm-hmm. I mean, Javon Ivory has had a bunch of drops and, you know, I think struggles to get open. I mean, I don't think he's the quickest guy as a route runner. And that's can be okay if you're going to win battles on the outside, you know, like use your body and win battles. But he didn't do that last week either. And, you know, Eddie Lewis and Gabe Rogers, they're not able to – they haven't separated enough. Like, Seth Hennigan was under siege at times, but he also had some plays where he was mm-hmm. in the pocket yeah. at time and just no one was open. At the same time, they won the games and they're 4-1. And, again, I think the formula, like, as if the offense just gets a little bit better – you know, like I don't think this is clearly not going to be one of like a great offense, but I also don't think it has to be the 72nd ranked offense right. in the country. Like this offense should be in like the top 50 in total mm-hmm. offense. And I think that with a quarterback like Seth Hennigan, I think they can be and probably will be. So it's really interesting, though. I mean, we've talked about this Houston game, but it's the next five games are really what this season is all about. I mean, you got Houston, then at ECU, at Tulane, then you get a open week, and you have UCF mm-hmm. and then Tulsa on 5 days rest. If you go 3-2 in those five games, I think you're going to go into that North Alabama game at what you'd be 7-3, and I think you'd be in the mix for the AAC championship game. If you beat, you know, it'd be a scenario where if you can mm-hmm. beat SMU, there's a chance you're in the AAC championship game. If you just go 3-2 these next five, you go 4-1, you'll enter that SMU game, I think, in the driver's seat to make the, I don't know if you'd host the AAC championship game or what, but I think you'd be in position to be in the AAC championship game. And like 3-2 is not going to be easy, but it seems doable. Like, you know, none of these games, if you're favored against Houston, I don't know if you'll be you won't be favored at Tulane as of now.
Mm-mm.
I don't know about the ECU game. That's probably would be like a pick 'em. It'll be maybe ECU favored by a little bit. Depending on how you do the next three, I think you'll be favored against UCF. Maybe, or it'll be like a 1 point type deal. And I think you'll be favored against Tulsa at home.
Mm-hmm.
They're all winnable games, all games. You know, you're going to be within the margin, so to speak. And so I don't think 3-2 seems like that unreasonable to think. And that'd be great. I mean, it'd be great. So it's a really interesting moment for the program. I know, like, the attendance hasn't been great and, you know, people have been leery of the offense. But they really have a great opportunity right here in front of them this next month.
Yeah, so my argument's just been just win. And then mm-hmm. put yourself in those positions and the fans will come back. That's the quickest way to getting more of them in there is just winning as opposed to all of a sudden you got to go up, put up 40, 50, just pile them up. Is there a quicker way? I mean, we know there's not, you know.
I think ultimately
part of it's the offense. There's a bunch of different reasons why people
can embrace great defense. I think it's just
win. Yes.
I think because they have not done it this way, you know, during this rise, they have not done it this way. People are rightfully in I need to see this to believe this. But I think if you can go into that UCF game if you go into that UCF game and you're, 6-2? Mm-hmm. Like, that'd be, you know, I would hope you could generate a really nice crowd for that game.
UCF could get beat by SMU, though, tonight.
That's the whole thing. Like, the league is not good.
No.
Like, the league is not good. And Memphis is right in that jumble. Like, I watched Cincinnati play Tulsa last week. Cincinnati's like, they're probably the best team in the league still, but they are not like Cincinnati of the last 2 years. They are not some world beater.
They lost a lot.
Cincinnati team. And you don't even have to play them. And so, I think it sets up nicely for them. If the offense can get a little bit better,
mm-hmm.
I think it seems very realistic that you can go 3-2 over these next five. And I think, like I said, you'd go into that North Alabama game. You assume that's a win on senior day. And I think it would set up it wouldn't be easy, but it set up a big game against SMU to close the year.
Yeah.
I think it'll be a better crowd Friday, too. I don't think
30?
I hope. I'm hoping it's more like the opener, which was like 32. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping we can get up to like 30, 31. I know there's high school football and the Grizzlies preseason game, right. But can't you see, I think part of, you know, the attendance is so many different factors, I think. I think it's because we had a story up at commercialappeal.com about it this week with comments from Laird Veach and Ryan Silverfield, and I got some responses about it. And, like, people listed a whole bunch of things, and I think all of them are right. Like, I don't think it's any one thing. Like, I think what you said, like, you know, there's a little bit of, you know, timidness of really going all in on a team that isn't playing the way people are used to. I think that's some of it. I think conference realignment, like depression, mm-hmm. is some of it too. Like mm-hmm. this realization of, man, like Memphis got left behind by the Big 12 and we don't know, you know, it feels like, you know, it
especially
feels
when
like
you're playing teams that are moving on.
Feels like yep. we deserved it every bit or more as some of these schools mm-hmm. and we got passed up again and what the heck? Yeah, I think that's part of it.
I agree Absolutely. With that.
I think the schedule, having four straight, you know, starting the year with two road games and then having four straight home games, can't you see if you're a season ticket holder or someone who goes to the games going, all right, I'll go to the season opener
yep.
and then I'll go to the Houston game,
yep.
you know, because, it, you know, it's I can't do four straight weeks, you know, and what games am I going to skip? I'll skip the Arkansas State and the North Texas
yeah.
games
mm-hmm.
and the Temple game. You know, or you go to the Arkansas State. It's, I'll skip the North Texas and yeah. Temple games, and I'll go to this Houston game. And so I think that's part of it, too. You know, there's, you know, I think the, you know, just habits, the pandemic affected everything.
Yeah.
And then I think it's just a national thing. Like, attendance is down across the board in college football, by and large. So, you know, it's a lot of different things. But I'm hopeful that the crowd Friday will be better. And if they keep winning, I think the crowd for that UCF game could be really nice, potentially.
They deserve it at this point.
Now, I think part of what's going to affect them this weekend is, like, Houston hasn't held up its end of the bargain. Like, if Houston was 4-1 in this right. going in this game, I think even more people would show up. There'd be a little more. Houston would probably be ranked, given where they started the year
mm-hmm.
and their schedule. It would be a little sexier. Like, Houston hasn't really held up its end of the bargain here, going
at all
2-3. But it also is a net gain, I think, for Memphis in that it's indicative of the league is up for grabs this year, certainly more so than any year I've been here in Memphis.
Yeah.
The league feels up for grabs.
Last thing, who's the single season home run king?
Oh, it's Barry Bonds.
Thank
this
you.
Is ridiculous. This nonsense.
Thank you. So is that just old baseball writers that have kept that alive? I mean, mostly.
Yeah, it's like the people who are keeping Bonds, and I think it's ridiculous that Bonds and some of these guys aren't in the Hall of Fame. Like, it's just ridiculous. It was part of the era of
that
baseball.
Baseball profited off of. That's what I keep saying.
The argument, like, are we just going to not, you know, so the guys who won Cy Youngs before black baseball players were allowed to play, like, do those not count anymore? Because mm-hmm. like, you know, it was they had an advantage there. They weren't playing, you know, half of the baseball playing population.
I figure if there's enough of us common sense folks, we can get this done and get it recognized.
It's obviously Barry Bonds. Like, it's just ridiculous. Yeah. Everyone was doing steroids and like, here's the other part is like, are we like so sure? Like, I'm not trying to accuse Aaron Judge of doing steroids, but like, are you really at a point in your life that like you're just I can say with certainty Aaron Judge is doing everything by the book. I don't know.
This assumption that he's pure,
you know, I'm sure.
Now,
maybe
he is 6'7", 6'8", 270-something pounds, too.
He had a great year.
And we're at, what, 62?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, that's.
I think if, honestly, I think if he wasn't on the team.
I'd like to believe
if he was
in
on
it.
Another team other than the Yankees, and so you're dealing with, like, the New York
I
media.
I think you're hitting on it.
I think if he played for, like, the Kansas City Royals, no one would be there. This debate would be not even being had.
I said that yesterday.
I think it's because he's on the Yankees.
Yeah.
Even if he's on the Mets, I don't even think we'd be having this. It's the Yankees.
Yep.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.